Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we unite our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, on this Palm Sunday, we remember the day your Son entered Jerusalem, welcomed with praise, greeted with hope, and proclaimed as King. Some cried out, Hosanna, recognizing in him the promise of salvation, while others watched with uncertainty, and still others would soon oppose him. And as the crowd was divided, we confess that at times our hearts are divided. May we honor you with our lips, yet sometimes we'll still hesitate in obedience. We may rejoice in your blessings, yet resist your authority. Forgive us in the ways that we have misunderstood you, reshaped you, or held back from fully surrendering to you. And as some laid down palm branches before you, we lay down our lives before you this morning, not out of momentary emotion, but out of lasting commitment. Form in us a faith that is rooted, not driven, grounded in truth, not swayed by circumstance. Lord, in a world where there are so many voices competing for our allegiance, anchor us in what is unchanging. Let us not be shaped by shifting opinions or fleeting feelings, but by your word and your spirit. As we enter this holy week, prepare us to walk with Christ, not only in celebration, but in the path that leads to the cross. Give us courage to follow, humility to submit, and faith to endure. We choose this day to receive you as our King, not partially, not temporarily, but fully and faithfully. In Christ's name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you here with us this morning on this Palm Sunday. Today is the beginning of what is referred to as Holy Week. This is the most important week in the Christian experience on the Christian calendar. A lot of people think Christmas is, well, you got to have Christmas or you can't get here. But that wasn't really what it all was about. It was about this. It was about Jesus came here for this purpose, to sacrifice himself, to allow himself to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. So this week, today, we celebrate the day Jesus comes into Jerusalem. It's Palm Sunday. This Wednesday will be our final week of our Lenten Wednesday night services, and we're going to be having a baptism service. If you have not been baptized, you really should. If nothing else, just come and see what you can learn. I'll be teaching about what baptism means and why it's important, and then we're going to celebrate as people who have decided to follow Christ over the last several months are going to be baptized. And then there's this Maundy Thursday. It's the first time we've recognized this. It's part of Christian tradition. This is the night of the Last Supper. It's actually, in Jewish terminology, it's always the evening. The next day begins in the evening. It's just, we don't think in those terms, but that's what they do. The evening and the morning is the day. So as soon as the sun goes down on Thursday, it's actually technically Friday, which of course is the beginning of Good Friday. This is when Jesus gives his Last Supper. We're going to be celebrating communion just in a slow, very deliberate way, and I'm going to be teaching on what all this means, the significance of it. And then, of course, Friday, our Good Friday service, our big Easter egg sugar high Saturday. What time does it start? 1 o'clock? Yeah, I don't need that. I got to watch my blood sugar. And then Easter Sunday. Woohoo! That's what all wraps up next Sunday. Don't be here late. Get here on time. You might have a hard time finding a seat. It is what it is. Sunday is the one day everybody comes to church, whether they need it or not. he said sarcastically. This morning, let's look at Matthew, the 21st chapter, starting at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." In a court of law, that would be called theft. But that's what he told them to do. He says, if anyone says anything to you, just say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. And that's what happens. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say, and he quotes from the Old Testament here, Matthew, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So Palm Sunday is one of the most dramatic days in the New Testament. Jesus rides into Jerusalem. The crowds are gathered. Palm branches are waved. People shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It looks like a victory parade. It feels like a coronation. Sounds like the beginning of a revolution. The people believed that the moment had finally arrived. The Messiah had come. The kingdom was about to begin. Rome was about to fall. They hated the Romans. They were under the foot of the Romans. They were the occupying army in Israel. And there were hope now that Israel would be restored as an independent nation. But there's just one problem. They were welcoming the right king, but they had the wrong expectations. Wrong expectations create lots of pain in people's lives. People come into all kinds of things with the wrong expectations. People come to church and join churches temporarily because they have the wrong expectations. As soon as something is done the way they don't like it, or the pastor says something stupid, can I imagine that? And they scurry off to another church because it didn't meet their expectations. All kinds of things. Marriage, holy cow, talk about expectations. People come into marriage all the time with delusional expectations, only to be shocked when he doesn't meet the needs of my heart and soul day and night. And they get very discouraged. The participants of Palm Sunday had high expectations. Sadly, they had the wrong expectations. Palm Sunday teaches us something people will still struggle with today. God often shows up, but not in the ways we expect. Reminds me of the story of a guy who's stranded on a desert island. He prays every day, "God, save me." After some time, a boat came by and the people called out, "Hey, do you need some help?" He says, "No thanks, God's going to save me." Later, another boat comes. "Come on, we'll take you with us." "No, I'm trusting God." A third time, a plane flew overhead, spotted him, dropped a radio, talked to him, said, "We'll arrange for your deliverance." "No, no, no, I'm waiting for God. God will deliver me." Eventually, the man dies. Gets to heaven, he asks God, "Lord, why didn't you save me?" He said, "I sent two boats and a plane. What more were you expecting?" Sometimes God answers our prayers, but not in the way we expect. We can miss his provision because we're looking for something more dramatic or different. My mind's jumping around. It reminds me of talking about relationships. You know, a lot of people want to get married, but they don't want to date. Like, the delusional world. Yeah, how's that working for you? See, there's bad people out there. Yeah, so pay attention. Don't go there, Mark. Just move on. So the king arrives, but not in a way they expected. Matthew tells us that Jesus deliberately fulfilled a prophecy when he entered Jerusalem. Matthew quotes from Zechariah, the prophet. This is an Old Testament prophet about the Messiah. "See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey." Now imagine the scene. If a conquering king entered a city in ancient times, he would ride on a war horse, surrounded by soldiers with banners and trumpets, displaying power and authority. But Jesus comes riding on a donkey. A donkey was not a war animal. It was a symbol of peace and humility. Jesus was sending a message saying, "I'm a king, but not the kind of king you think." The people wanted really a political savior. The people of Israel were living under harsh Roman occupation. They longed for freedom. They longed for power. They longed for restoration. They expected the Messiah to come as a military leader, a revolutionary, a political deliverer. But Jesus came for something far greater than all that. He did not come to overthrow Rome. He came to overthrow sin. He did not come to conquer armies. He came to conquer death itself. People still misunderstand Jesus today. Some want Jesus to be a political hero, a life coach, a prosperity provider, a problem fixer. But Jesus did not come primarily to fix our circumstances. He came to save our souls. That's what all of this is about. The crowd praised him, but they didn't understand him. The people shouted, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." They believed salvation meant freedom from Rome, but Jesus came to save them from something much deeper. He came to save them from their sin. Sometimes people praise Jesus when life is good, but when things don't go the way they expected, when prayers are not answered the way they hoped, when suffering comes, their praise disappears like a mist in the sunshine. Palm Sunday warns us about shallow faith. The crowd loved Jesus as long as they thought he would give them what they wanted, but when they realized he came for something deeper, many of them were disappointed. You know, it's often said that the same people who celebrated Jesus coming into Jerusalem were the same people who cried, "Crucify him," on a few days later on Good Friday. But I don't believe that. Make no mistake, people were disappointed because they wanted all these other things. And it's a common sermon line. I promise you, sermons all across America today will be saying, "The same people who celebrate Jesus was yelling, 'Crucify him!' by Friday." No, 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 no. See, how do you know that, Pastor? Because it says it in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say it's the same bunch of people. In the triumphant entry, the crowd is described as pilgrims, followers, people coming for Passover. Many had seen or heard of Jesus, specifically how Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. That was a dramatic miracle. They're hearing stories of Jesus doing this, that, and the other, and raising some people from the dead. But, you know, maybe they passed out. Were they really dead? Maybe they're just mostly dead, to quote the Princess Bride. But Lazarus is dead for 3 days. He's completely and totally dead. And raises him from the grave, and that shocks everybody. And a lot of these people, you remember, Jesus came, he's been there for 3 years in Israel. Israel is not a big country. It's a small, you pretty much can walk from one side to the other. It's a tiny place, relatively speaking. And Jesus is there for 3 years ministering to what the Bible calls multitudes. And I looked up, what is a multitude? And it just says, a lot. So we don't know, but we figure it's a lot. So he's doing all, and he's healing people. And you can imagine, the people are celebrating. If Jesus had healed your daughter who was on the verge of death, that has an impact on you. If he heals your dad who couldn't walk, that would have an impact on your family. If he healed your grandma who's really sick, I mean, he goes everywhere. He's healing them all, the Bible says. Doing this, this is having a dramatic impact on the entire nation. Again, not that big of a nation in the first place. You got somebody doing like that in Green Bay, the word's going to get out. And this is, everybody knew of his power and what he had done. So they came and they were full of expectation because they're waiting for the Messiah. They figured, this guy's got to be it. That's the crowd that's described on Palm Sunday. But at the crucifixion, the Bible describes the crowd as a group of people who were persuaded by the priests, chief priests and elders. In other words, they're a mob. They're a mob of people that were just ginned up by the leaders. Also says that they had gathered at Pontius Pilate's headquarters early in the morning. There'd be no reason for them to do that unless they were instructed to be there by the chief priests and elders. So the idea that the same people were shouting Hosanna on Sunday were the same shouting crucify him on Friday just makes no sense. People are fickle, but they're not that fickle. Still, undoubtedly, there were people who were disappointed because that's not what they wanted. They came to celebrate Jesus, then all of a sudden, at the end of the week, he's hanging on a cross. Those people were stunned, including his own disciples. The palm branches meant something important. Palm branches were not random. In ancient Israel, palms celebrated victory and deliverance. About 150 years earlier, when the Jewish people defeated a foreign oppressor, they celebrated throughout the country by waving palm branches. So when the crowd waved palms at Jesus, they were declaring, "This is our deliverer." But again, they misunderstood the nature of his victory. Again, Jesus did not come to defeat Rome. He came to defeat sin, death, and Satan. You see, the real battle, the greatest enemy humanity faces, is not governments, political systems, or economic struggles. The greatest enemy humanity faces is sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin destroys life. Sin leads to death. And for those who often quote as though they'd really thought it through, if there's a God, why is there so much evil in the world? Evil in the world is not a sign there's no God. It's a sign of a world that has rejected God. They don't want anything to do with God. They want to do their own thing. That's why there's evil in the world, not because there's no God. Palm Sunday begins the final week in Jesus, when Jesus would defeat that enemy, the enemy of sin. See, Palm Sunday is not the end of the story. It's just the beginning of the final week of Jesus' life. Within days, palms would disappear. The crowds would vanish. The king would be arrested. He'd be beaten. He'd be mocked. He'd be crucified. And while his followers and others were stunned, none of this surprised Jesus. He entered Jerusalem knowing exactly what would happen. You know, he told them over and over again exactly what would happen. I mean, really plainly and clearly. And they had no idea what he's talking about. See, how's that possible? Because they didn't understand most of what he talked about. They really got to the point they didn't know what he's talking about. They said, we'll figure it out later, you know. He'd talk in ways they didn't grasp it. Jesus came with an explicit purpose to die. Most kings try to avoid death. Jesus rode straight toward it. He knew the cross was coming. He knew betrayal was coming. He knew suffering was coming, yet he came anyway. Why? Because the cross was the reason he came to earth in the first place. Palm Sunday shows us what kind of king Jesus is. He's not a king who demands sacrifice from his people. He's a king who sacrifices himself for his people. Most kings build their kingdoms with the blood of others. Jesus built his kingdom with his own blood. Most rulers demand loyalty. Jesus gives grace. Most leaders protect themselves, but Jesus gave himself for the world. The kingdom of Jesus is different. In John, the 18th chapter, verse 36, these words are recorded. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is another place." His kingdom operates differently. It is not built through human power. It is built through divine love. It is not advanced through violence. It is advanced through sacrifice. It is not sustained through fear, it's sustained through grace. So Palm Sunday forces each of us to answer a very important question. Who do you believe Jesus is? On Palm Sunday, the crowd asked, "Who is this?" Some said, "He's a prophet." Others thought he's a political leader. But the truth is far greater. Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's just not a miracle worker. He's the Son of God and the Savior of the world. So we must ask ourselves, are we welcoming the real Jesus? It's possible to welcome a version of Jesus that we create in our minds, a Jesus who agrees with us, a Jesus who never challenges us, a Jesus who's just there and exists to fulfill our plans and our dreams. But the real Jesus calls us to something deeper. He calls us to repentance, which we've been focusing on during this season of Lent. He calls us to faith, surrender, discipleship. The real Jesus is not just our helper, he's our king. And here's the irony of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday looks like a victory, but it leads to the cross. Yet the cross itself would become the greatest victory in history. Because through the cross, sin was defeated, forgiveness was made possible, and death lost its power. Salvation became available to all. What looked like defeat was actually God's plan for redemption. Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus is a king unlike any other king. He came in humility. He came in peace. He came knowing the cross waited for him. He came because love compelled him. The crowd shouted, "Hosanna, save us now." And the amazing truth is Jesus did, just not the way they expected, but in a way far greater than any of them could have possibly imagined. So the same question that confronted Jerusalem confronts us today. Will we welcome Jesus as king of our lives? Not just as the version of Jesus that we want, but the real Jesus, the humble king, the suffering savior, the Lord of all. At this time, our ushers are going to get ready to serve us communion as we celebrate what all of this is about, what happens on the cross that we'll be focusing on this Friday. Jesus Christ gave himself. The Bible says he could have called for help and 10,000 angels would have showed up and killed them all and delivered him from the cross. But he says nothing. He does that. He knew what was coming. Again, he told them, this is what's coming. This is why I came. And sure enough, it came as he predicted. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He took what he did not deserve so we could get what we don't deserve, which is forgiveness for all of our sins. The Bible says before we take communion, remembering what he did at that Last Supper, we should examine ourselves. So with those words in mind, I invite you all to bow your heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we sinned against you, doing something we shouldn't have done, maybe failing to do something that we should have done, we haven't loved others as we love ourselves. If we have been expecting you to be something that you really aren't, for the sake of your beloved Son, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray, have mercy on all of us. Forgive us of all of our sins and strengthen us in the goodness. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And while heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning saying, you know, I've never really done what you guys are talking about. I've never truly experienced the love of God, the forgiveness of sins in my life. You can right now, in your own words, just softly pray to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And you can take part in this wonderful miracle that we're celebrating this week. Amen.